psalmist says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has lifted up his soul to an idol. And then Psalms 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. We worship a mighty King. We worship an awesome King. We worship a God who is almighty. We worship a God who is all-knowing. We worship a God who is everywhere all at the same time. We worship a God who saved our soul from a burning hell. We worship a God who walks with us and talks with us and fills us each and every day. We worship a God who provides for us. He woke us up this morning. He put clothes on our backs. He put food on the table. Woke us up in our right mind. We serve a God who loves us so much that he demonstrates his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, we serve a mighty and an awesome God. We serve an awesome and a mighty Christ. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I don't know about you, I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm glad he brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm glad I have a relationship with him. He is a mighty God. He is an awesome God. Oh, you ought to give him some praise this morning. You ought to give him some praise. You ought to give him some praise this morning. I'm not saying praise the preacher or praise the organ player. I'm saying praise God. Praise Jesus. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. He loved us so much, he sent his son Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You ought to worship him this morning. You ought to worship him this morning. You ought to worship him this morning. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Nothing like being on the Lord's side. Nothing like being in a relationship. In a relationship. See, Christianity is not really a religion. It's a relationship with a living and true God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, just abide with me and I with you and you will bear much fruit. Jesus said, I knock on the door. I want to come in and dine with you and sup with you and fellowship with you. We serve a God, not some detached deity way out there somewhere, but we serve a God who walks with us, who talks with us, who loves us. You might not like this part, who disciplines us, spanks their behind every now and then. But the Bible says he disciplines those whom he loves. So it's just good to have a relationship. We know it objectively through the word of God. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you've been saved any amount of time, you know it subjectively too. You know that you walk with him and you know that he is indeed there with you each and every day. So continue to stay in his hand. The Bible says we're in his hands. Nobody can pluck us out. And nobody can pluck us out if we're in his hands. It's good to know that our salvation is secure. Father, we do thank you today. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your son Jesus here to live into a perfect, sinless life. And he died on Calvary's cross. He was buried, but he rose again. And we thank you that we serve a risen Savior who's now ascended back into heaven. And even right now, dear Jesus, thank you for being at the right hand of your Father and our Father. Thank you for interceding for us, praying for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, who is in us. You're in us, but also you intercede for us as well. So even now, dear God, as your word, the word of God goes forward, it will not return to you void. It's going to accomplish all that you have intended it to do, dear Lord. So we pray to fall on fertile ground, good hearts, soft hearts, and that we, the people of God, would not just be hearers of the word of God, but be doers of the word of God. Thank you, dear God, once again, for your word. We know that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God shall endure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. We get a new heaven and a new earth, but the word of God endures forever. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for this opportunity to worship you, dear Lord. Thank you for corporate worship, dear Lord. We just pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand again and take your Bibles, and we'll continue in this series on relationships. You know, we started out, preached about singles, and then then we kind of talk about just what it takes in Ephesians 5 to kind of, quote unquote, live this out. And then we preached last week about the husband's role in marriage, and this morning we will talk more about the wife's role in marriage. But it's in your bulletin, but it's also, of course, in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 21 through 24. Good to see all of y'all here this morning. Each and every one of y'all. And it's definitely good to see Sister Pat here, Sister Patricia Pat Smith. Raise your hand, Sister Pat. Most of y'all probably know Sister Pat is Mother Moore's daughter. And we thank God for Sister Pat. Her and her husband, Kevin, he's actually the founding pastor here at Love Fellowship, for those of you who do not know. Just a good brother in the Lord. He and I don't talk a whole lot, but when we do talk, it's always good talk and good talk or texting. And I was with him back in the fall. We were down in Florida at a conference, and we just had a great time together, worshiping together those nights. And it's a blessing. You know, I often talk about what the Word of God tells us to make disciples, to go and make disciples of all the nations, and I often encourage each and every one of you to have at least three levels of people in your life. Have a Paul in your life, someone who's more mature in the faith than you and maybe a little further along. And also it's good to have some Barnabas, somebody that's kind of right there with you, but also some Timothy, some people that you are helping bring on up. And I have to say, Brother Kevin, even before I became a preacher, or maybe right around the time I was becoming a preacher in the 90s, when he was still here in the city, he kind of became kind of a far, but kind of a Paul type of brother in my life. And I remember even when he was still an associate down at Olivet, he would do lunch Bible studies, and I would go down there, and Kevin would be, I remember one time he came out, he brought a big Strong's Concordance and a Vine's Expository book, and I said, man, this brother, he's serious about the word. And so I just thank God for the fellowship and friendship we've had over the years. So definitely tell Kevin we said hello. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 19, reading through verse 24. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Jesus is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then 1 Peter 3:1, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read the first part of 1 Peter 3:1. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. So my topic this morning, similar to last week, a very simple topic. It's the wife's role in marriage. The wife's role in marriage. You may be seated. The wife's role in marriage. The wife's role. Now, last week we dealt more with the brothers, with the husbands. So today, this Sunday, we're going to deal mainly with the wife's role in marriage. Marriage, let's kind of get the total picture, the big picture. Marriage, first of all, brothers and sisters, marriage is much larger than just what you can do for your spouse or what your spouse can do for you. Marriage is much more than that. It's much deeper than that. Marriage is first and foremost about our God. And as I'm preaching this morning, I'm preaching kind of assuming a Christian. I'm talking about a Christian marriage between a Christian man and a Christian woman, a Christian husband and a Christian wife. Marriage is first and foremost about God. Marriage is a picture, and most of y'all know this, it's a picture of Christ and the church. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he is our bridegroom. He's our husband, if you will, and we are the bride of Christ. So the marriage gives an earthly picture of a heavenly reality. It's a picture of Christ and his church. So husbands and wives, as you ponder our marriages and single people, as you think about maybe getting married one day, know this first of all, the first and foremost, once again, marriage begins and ends with God. When you get married, when I got married, when you got married, if you're married, we entered into a covenant relationship with God. I think we forget about that sometimes. We first, before I told Sister Tanya, and she's helping with children's church today, so I can use her a lot in illustrations today if I have to. Y'all don't tell her. But before I said I do, yeah, it's on tape, it's online, everything. Before I said I do to Tanya, though, I first, Brother Steve and Sister Terman, I first had to say I do to the Lord. To have a successful marriage, you got to first make sure that you are right with the Lord. You know, I've been talking about that a lot the last few weeks. We got to first make sure we get that vertical relationship right, and then the horizontal will take care of itself more easily. We got to first make sure we are right with Jesus. We're right with God. So marriage is first of all not so much about the husband or the wife. It's first about God, right? Marriage is God's idea. Genesis 2, God is the one who performed the first marriage ceremony. Caused Adam to fall asleep and took a rib out of Adam's side and fashioned a woman by the name of Eve and brought Eve to Adam. Marriage is God's idea. It's God's thing. Even in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, his first recorded miracle, was at a wedding feast. He turned water into wine. It was his first recorded miracle. God is for marriage. Matter of fact, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and favor with God. So first of all, marriage is about God. Now, with that being said, in our marriages, there are certain roles, certain responsibilities that the husband and the wife should fulfill. Once again, last week we looked primarily at the brothers, primarily at the husband role in marriage. So this week, our sisters, this week is your time. We're gonna look mostly at the wife role in marriage. May not get a whole lot of amens, I don't know, but watch this. Before we get to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22 though, let's first look again briefly at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 21. We looked at it a little bit last week, but in verse 21, here's a good message for the wife and the husband. Verse 21 says, submit to one another in the fear of God. Submit to one another in the fear of God. So no Christian is inherently superior to another Christian. As a Christian wife, as a Christian husband, before God, in God's eyes, you are equal in your essence. You're equal in your essence. Yes, there are different roles, different responsibilities, different strengths, different weaknesses. But all of us, husband and wife, male and female, we are created equal in God's image. Genesis 1:27. You might want to write that reference down. Genesis 1:27. And today's message will be a little more kind of a topical type of message. I'm going to be pulling different verses from different places. But Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Now, I don't want to get too far off track. I don't want to say right on track with my outline and my notes. So I won't say too much about that verse, but on this part of that verse, my point for bringing this verse out was that male and female were created equally in the image of God, right? So I'm not going to even say it. It's very simple that God said in Genesis 1:27 that he created them male and female. No in between, no transgender, no this, no that, no whatever. Male and female. That's so simple, so basic to the Christian, right? Right? So don't let all this other stuff confuse you. God created everybody either male or female. Say that one more time, then I'm going to move on. God created everybody either male or female. I know different people, but I'll leave that alone. I'm just going to move on from there. So both male and female, once again, are created equally. But different roles, different responsibilities, but still created equal, right? But watch this, verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands in the Lord. Now, I know some ladies, some sisters, and sometimes maybe some of us are to blame, but some of the husbands, but some sisters can't even know how to say that word. But that's what Ephesians 5:22 says. It said, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, first, let me just say real quickly, kind of a basic fundamental meaning of what submit means. Submit basically just means to place yourself under the authority of another. Simple definition for submit means to place yourself under the authority of another. Place yourself under the authority of another. Submit. Place yourself under the authority of another. And verse 22 says, submit to your husband just as unto the Lord. So first of all, wives, you got to first be submitted to the Lord. Then as you're submitted to the Lord, as you place yourself under his authority, God says, place yourself under the authority of your husband. Submit yourself to your husband. I don't know why we have such a problem with that, because all of us in here submit to somebody at some level or another. All of us in here today, if you got to go to work today or if you're going tomorrow, I promise you, unless you own the business, when you go to work tomorrow, you're going to submit to somebody on your job. You can even own the business. You can even be the HNIC. And I won't even say what the HNIC means. You can even be the head of the business. And you still got somebody over you probably. It might be the government. It might be some rules, some regulations. All of us submit to somebody. On your job, we do it. In the school system, you might say, well, I'm the principal of the school. You submit. I think he had to step out. You submit to Dr. Kurt Kelly. He's over the school system. So wherever we are in life, all of us submit to somebody somewhere. In school, our teenagers, when you go to school tomorrow, you got to submit to your teacher. If you play sports, you got to submit to the coach. All of us submit to somebody, right? So I don't know why this is so hard for some people. Now, some ladies, some wives might be handling this really well, but some, it may be a big struggle, but all of us submit to somebody somewhere. But it first begins with submitting to the Lord. So one reason some wives probably can't submit to their husband because they're not really even submitted to the Lord. It starts there. It starts submitting to. See, it says there in that verse, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. As you are submitted to the Lord. As you are submitted to him, submitted to the Lord, submit also to your husband. That's what it says, right? So place yourself under his authority, his protection. Now brothers and husbands, our leadership, our headship is not dictatorship. Let me say that again. Say that real slowly. Read my lips. Just because God has said you are the leader, you are the head, that doesn't mean we are a dictator. That doesn't mean it's like it's my way or the highway. No, you'd be sleeping on the couch. You try that approach, brother. But now, brothers, we lovingly lead. You lead responsibly. You get advice, you get input, you get the discernment from your wife, you get all those things from your wife. So you nor I have been called to be dictators. Now, wives, just in case you kind of missed that imagery and that illustration in verse 22, God gives us two more verses that really make it really clear. God is so awesome, and he makes things so clear in so many cases. Listen to what he says in verses 23 and 24. For the husband is head of the wife, just as Christ is head of the church. Now, this is a Christian church. This is a Christian crowd this morning. I won't get any arguments there. Christ is head of the church. Say, Christ is head of the church. He died for the church. Jesus is head of the church. This is his church. It's not my church. This wasn't Kevin's church. This is Christ's church. God, Jesus died for the church. He's head of the church. And watch, he is the savior of the body. I can't just skip over that. I got to spend just a little bit of time with it. I'm so glad that Jesus is indeed head of the church. I'm so glad that he's savior of the body. I'm so glad that he saved my soul. I'm so glad he saved your soul. He's savior of the whole body. The body of Christ. Who's the savior? Jesus Christ is. He's the one who died on Calvary's cross. He's the one who was buried. He's the one who came back to life. He's the one who walked the earth 40 days. He's the one who went on back into heaven. He's the one who's praying for us even right now. Jesus is savior of the church. That's why I know the church is going to go on even. Jesus said himself, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Jesus is the savior of the church. He's savior of the body. He's my savior. He's your savior. That's my prayer. If he's not your savior, today he can be your savior. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the savior of the body. And one of the amazing and wonderful things that God has done, that Jesus has done with the church, with the Christian church, with us, especially as it relates to marriage, once again, we give a picture of Christ and the church. So, beloved, we had to think a little deeper than just, well, am I just treating my wife right, or am I just treating my husband right? I got to think about, am I representing God right? Am I representing Jesus right? Am I loving my wife as Christ loved the church? And, brother, let's be honest, oftentimes I miss that mark miserably. We miss that mark miserably sometimes. But that's my goal, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And I know it's mostly about the ladies, but I got to always hit the brothers a little bit. Brothers, if we're loving our wives right, if we're treating them, loving them sacrificially, if we're treating them the way that Christ treats us, I don't think any lady in here have a problem submitting to her husband. So brothers, we gotta love our wife correctly. We gotta love them sacrificially. We gotta nourish and cherish them, as verse 29 says. I know that's kind of last week's message, but if we love our wife right, brothers, I don't think this submission thing would be so hard. Now, if your husband is loving you right, sister, and you still not wanting to submit, fully on you. But the Bible says Christ is head of the church. He's head of the church. So he gives us that perfect picture that we know that Christ is head of the church, right? So he says right there in verse 22, so also the husband is head of the wife. Somebody got to be the head. You know, I don't know any animal, correct me if I'm wrong, other than that cheap ferret used to come through our southern Arkansas every year. And they'd have this little room you go into, and they have all this crazy looking stuff and stuff that was kind of an abnormality. It's like one thing had two heads. But it wasn't really alive. It was an optical illusion. So nothing I know of has two heads. If something got two heads, it's a monstrosity. It's a monster. It's a messed up thing. Your body only has to have one head, right? So somebody got to be the head, right? And so the Bible says the husband, is this in your Bible? I just want to make sure. The Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. And then it says, verse 24 gives another example. Therefore, just as the church is subject or submitted to Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in everything. So just as the church submits to Christ, just as Christ is the leader of this church, Love Fellowship, and any other true church, Christ is the head of the church. The Bible says the wife needs to let the husband be the leader, be the head, submit to him. Now, again, this submission, listen, you might want to jot this down, brothers. This submission, this is for the sisters too, this submission, wife submitting to the husband, this is not for the husband to demand. I ain't going to go home and be like, Sister Tanya, you got to submit to me. No. Number one, that probably wouldn't work. Number one, but it's not to be demanded. It's not to be demanded. But sisters, but wife, it's for you to willingly obey it. It's not to be demanded by the husband, demanded by the man, but it's for the wife. Sisters, it's for you to willingly offer it. So again, brothers, don't demand it, but focus on loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And she will lovingly submit. You know, if she's submitted to the Lord, and the brother, the husband, you and I are doing what we should be doing, there might be a few exceptions, but I think for the most part, a wife I've had over the years, I've had several wives tell me that, I just wish my husband would lead. I wish he would take the lead. I wish he would, cause sometimes the wife, she's tired of being in that driving, that leading role. She said, I want my husband to lead. And I'm gonna give you some points here in a minute, wife, to kind of help encourage your husband in this whole thing of leadership. Once again, not dictatorship, but leadership. Brothers, God has called us to lead. Let me say it again. Brothers, God has called us to lead. Sisters, God has called us to lead. Right? So wise, with that being said, hear me well, hear me well, hear me well, hear me well, sisters. And brothers, y'all might have to help escort me out. And at the end, y'all might have to help. But hear me well, though, sisters. This means you might be more educated than your husband. You might have a better job than your husband. You might make more money than your husband. You might even be more spiritually mature than your husband. But God has still called the husband to lead the family. Y'all with me? He still called the wife to submit. Now listen here. They don't use this as just an out on everything now, but don't submit to your husband if he's going against the word of God. Don't submit to your husband. He's just acting a fool. We're just doing stuff way outside of life. I guess I'm preaching kind of the ideal, the biblical mandate of assuming the husband is primarily doing the right thing. Not being perfect, but doing the right thing as it relates to the Lord and to his family. So brothers, since we have that responsibility, since we have that role, don't be making some, you know, half thought out, self-centered, messed up decisions. You need to consult the Lord. Now, once again, this whole thing, just being transparent, this whole thing about being a leader of the family, leading your wife and your kid, this is not an easy role. This is not just something to play with. So that's why, brothers, we gotta consult the Lord. We gotta consult our wives. We gotta, as we lead, as we practice what the Bible just said, being the head of our wife, as we lead our wives lovingly and lead our family, we gotta consult the Lord. We gotta consult the Word of God. We gotta consult the Holy Spirit. Right? Can't just do this stuff on your own. Just can't do this stuff in your own logic, in your own reasoning. We'll mess it up every time. I said, we'll mess it up every time. I should be able to get by 4 or 5 witnesses right there. We'll mess it up every time. As we talk about leading, right in this text that we read earlier, the full text, the two shall become one. The two shall become one. So brothers, as you and I lead our wife, as we lead our family, once again, you definitely get input. You discuss stuff with your wife. I'm just gonna preach this real practical one-on-one stuff, right? Is that all right? You don't just go off and make a decision. Don't even consult your wife. You consult your wife. You pray. Y'all pray together. Y'all consult. Y'all look at the pros and the cons. Y'all say, what's the best thing for this situation? What's the best thing for us in relation to employment, or where we're gonna live, or what we're gonna do with the kid, or just on and on and on. But you obviously spend time talking with your wife through these things. But at the end of the day, the husband is called to lead. Once again, somebody got to make a call. Somebody got to say, hey, we're going to do it this way. And brothers, this is biblical. This is right out of the Bible. Husbands, as you submit, wives, as you submit to the husband, and we're going to get to another word in just a moment, but wife, as you submit to the husband, brothers, as we lead, When things go awry in our home, I'm not saying the wife don't have anything to do with it or the kids don't have anything to do with it, but when things go awry or go messed up in the home, guess who's first held responsible? Genesis 3, the husband. That passage always bothered me when I used to read it years ago. And you know, you look at it, and of course, you know, Eve, she was the first one that sinned and ate of the fruit, right? Eve did, right? So I'm kind of thinking like Adam a little bit. It's Eve's fault. But then, of course, Adam ate the fruit also. And so when God came, he didn't say, where's Eve? Now God said, where are you, Adam? So when things are awry in our homes, brothers, God is first asking us, where are you, husband? Where are you, husband? So brothers, we are called to lead, and wives, you are called to submit. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. Come under the authority of your husband. So husbands, as we lead, our wives are to submit. Look at verse 33 of Ephesians 5. Verse 33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you, talking to the husband, let each one of you in particular to love his own wife as himself. Brothers, we ought to love our wives sacrificially. We ought to love our wives, not a self-centered type of love, but we ought to love our wives sacrificially. And then, listen to this, let the wife see that she respects her husband. So this morning, two things we're mainly talking about as it relates to the wife role in marriage. One is, wife, submit to your husband. Put yourself under the authority of your husband. But also, here's a very important word, very key word, right out of the Bible. Wife, you are to respect your husband. Let me say that one again. Wife, you are to respect your husband. I know this couple, they're not a member here, some years ago. You know, sometimes you go out on, you know, cumulative dates and stuff with other couples, and you know, be the husbands and the wives, y'all sitting there at the table. And man, I used to feel so bad about this brother, for this brother, because his wife would always belittle and berate him all the time. And you could just tell he was just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But wives, God says, respect your husband. Hey, you married that joker, right? You married him. Respect him. Now, brothers, let's make sure we're walking with the Lord and we're not doing some crazy stuff to, you know, cause our wives to disrespect us. But once again, I'm kind of preaching ideal that if the husband is primarily doing what he should be doing, wives, respect your husband. You know, in doing some research on this sermon earlier this week, kind of trying to, in a sense, kind of get in the mindset of a wife, I had to do some extra reading, and I read some good little articles off. Here's a couple of good sites that maybe might help your marriage out. Tanya and I, we read stuff off these sites sometime and discuss different articles. Focus on the Family, that's a good little site, Christian type site about marriage and other stuff, parenting. And also, Family Life Today. Those are two good little sites, two good little resources. Because we know, of course, the Bible is our main resource, and those sites, you know, have biblically based type of articles. But in reading a little bit about this whole respect and submission thing, kind of wanted to get a perspective of a Christian lady. And this one lady, she said, this is what this one lady said, and I've read this in other things as well. She said, the wife is responsible for sacrificial respect. And better yet, you might say, well, I don't even know that lady. I don't even know that Christian lady. Well, once again, the Bible says in verse 33, wife, respect your husband. And this lady goes on to say how the way that a guy's brain is made versus the way that the wife's brain is kind of made. And I've heard many Christian counselors talk the same way, that a man's brain is made in such a way that his greatest need is respect. That's why God said, wives, respect your husband. That's what the average brother kind of really needs. Not that we don't need some other stuff, but the man really needs some respect. To be shown respect, especially by his wife. You know, he can maybe go to work and the people at work might not respect him or whatever. The people in the streets might not respect him. But at least when he comes home, at least when he comes to the house, and leading his home, right, at least he should get some respect at home. I heard a brother share yesterday, Dr. Banks, at that Iron Sharpens Iron conference that many of us went to. He was talking about how he, you know, would work hard and work, and you go out. That was his kind of, he thought, hey, I'm going to go out and work for the family. He'd get home, and his wife, you know, that wasn't connecting with her. She was glad he was working, but she just wanted some of his time. And he said, he told her one day, baby, you don't really love me. He said, what? I don't love you. I work hard every day. What do you mean I don't love you? So he had to kind of talk through that, unpack that. But when that man comes home, he's working every day or trying to work or in school or whatever. Wife, when he comes home, home should be a haven. When he comes home, maybe he was disrespected at work that day. Maybe he was disrespected at school or wherever. But when he comes home, he needs to at least be respected by his wife. And then if you are not respecting him, how do you expect your kids to respect him? The wife, respect your husband. That's the man God gave you. Respect your husband. Respect your husband. So this lady writes, she goes on, she says that according to God's design, respecting your husband, in this lady's opinion, respecting your husband is the wife's number one job. She says, this may seem impossible at times, but she said, but he cannot thrive without it. That's why, unfortunately, I'm definitely not excusing. Make sure you run that 10 times over and over on the tape. I'm not excusing it. But that's why sometimes when men go into the workplace, unfortunately, sometimes they get involved in these emotional affairs. Because the lady at the office is showing him all kind of respect. And he's at home, I'm not getting any respect. So wife, we are called. And once again, let me say it one more time. That doesn't excuse any type of sinful action. But that's why the husband, he comes home, he wants some respect. He wants some respect. I remember years ago riding at Dangerfield. He would be in little shows and little spoof. His main thing was, I don't get no respect. That's what he used to say. So wife, sister, don't let your husband be leaving home saying that I don't get any respect at home. Wives, respect your husband. One article I was pulling a few points out of about this whole respect thing and how it really means so much to the average man, average husband. They write that, hey, that basically a woman is designed, just like a woman is designed to respond more to love, because God made us, God designed us. It's right in the Bible. That's why God keeps saying, husbands, love your wife. Nourish and cherish your wife, because that's typically some of you all's greatest needs. Help her to feel secure. Help her to know that you're taking care of her. Love her, nourish and cherish her. But just as most wives really desire there, the average man, he really wants to be honored and respected. That's kind of how God has wired us. You know, the husband and wife are divinely designed to complement each other. So once again, husbands, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. Wife, respect and honor your husband. Now, in saying that, I want to say a little something. It's not contradictory, but I want to say that also, the wife, she needs to be loved and nourished and cherished, but also the wife needs to be respected also. She needs to be treated with respect also. Remember last week, 1 Peter 3:7, we kind of talked about that. Husband living with your wife in an understanding way, you know, cherishing her and doing those things. So a wife needs that as well, needs to be respected as well. So husbands, we do need to be respected. We do need to be, honored in that way. But also husbands need loving too. So husbands need some loving too. So don't be saying, hey, I'm submissive to my husband, I respect him, but ain't no loving, ain't no terrorism, ain't none of that. Now, Titus 2:4, right there, Titus 2:4 says, wives, love your husband. Love your husband. But what God is telling us, what the scriptures are telling us, what many our Christian counselors and people who do this stuff every day tell us, that still, that the husband needs to be loved, yes, the wife needs to be respected, yes, but the primary need for the husband is more of that respect and that honor, and the primary need for the wife is one to be loved and cherished and nourished. Is that clear? Is that good? So we kind of know that, right? The Bible just said, wives, submit to your own husband. Wife, respect your husband. So what's the problem? What's the problem? This one wife said this. She said, I don't have a problem with it. It's supposed to be, you know, this is a Christian wife, the lady just being honest. She said, I don't have a problem with respect. It's showing respect to my husband that I can't quite get the hang of. That's what one lady said. She said, I don't really have a problem with respect. It's showing respect to my husband. One of the things, there are many things, but one of the things I think has really hampered a lot of ladies, once again, not taken out of the fact that sometimes guys, we do some crazy stuff that may cause our wife not to respect us or honor us or whatever. So I'm not talking about that, but I'm just talking about one thing culturally that really has, people don't realize it, many people don't, over the years has really, since it's really an attack against the home, in most television shows, in most regular television shows, at least starting back in about the late 80s, early 90s, about all of them that I see from time to time, the husband is like a buffoon. He's like, you know, like going all the way back to like Al Bundy. I can't even remember the name of that show that he was in. Coming all the way up to Married with Children, somebody said Married. Coming all the way up to like The Simpsons. Homer Simpson, you know, he's a, so, you know, and it just seems like it's cool to laugh at the husband. It's cool to make fun of the daddy. Even one of the kids shows that my girls used to like to watch back in the day, Jimmy Neutron. Anybody know about Jimmy Neutron? Jimmy Neutron. Yeah, that's my show there. I mean, Jimmy Neutron, he was a little scientist. He'd make all kind of gadgets. It'd mess up at first, but then later on it'd come back right. Jimmy Neutron. Anybody watch Jimmy Neutron? Yeah, Jimmy Neutron. But check out his daddy. Jimmy Neutron's daddy was just Ariana and I used to really laugh at him. He's just off the charts, just crazy. So it's become so funny, Sister Pat, over the years, for the last 10, 15, 20 years on TV. And just so that's almost kind of filtered over into that's what a lot of people think. It's okay to not respect the husband. It's okay not to respect dad. Because of some of the influences of television and other things. And of course, not to mention maybe some ungodly counsel you get sometimes by a girl, I wouldn't submit to him, girl, I wouldn't respect him. I don't, that's why she's single, that's why she's out there single, you know. But respect your husband, honor your husband, submit to him. Come under the authority of your husband. Here's about five things, and I'm out of here, that'll help you out a little bit. Just some tips of how to do this, how to kind of do better at this. Some of you all are probably doing well at this, but maybe how to do better. I know definitely, of course, come on, experimental over on the husband's side. A lot of us are doing well, but we can all do better. So I'm sure a lot of the wives, a lot of the sisters, you can do better in this area. Here's where you need to start. Here's where you need to start. As it relates to submitting to your husband and respecting and honoring your husband. Start with prayer. Start with prayer, asking God to change your heart and your attitude. You know, pray. I hope you're praying for your husband anyway. And husbands, we should be praying for our wives and praying together. Start with prayer. So, Lord, help me to honor him the way you want me to honor him. Help me to respect him the way you want me to respect him. Help me to submit to him the way you are calling me to submit to him. And you know, if it's hard, just says, Lord, this is difficult. It's hard. Help me with this. I'm not used to doing this. I haven't really done this all my life. So Lord, but help me out with this. So start with prayer. Ask God to work on your heart. Change your heart and your attitude if this is a big struggle area for you. Also, here's another really good one. Listen carefully to the words you speak to your husband. Listen carefully to the words you speak to your husband. This is kind of similar to what we even heard about how we should be to our kids. But listen carefully to the words you speak to your husband. You know, use your words carefully. Don't be using all those negative words. Like, you ain't amount to nothing. You ain't never been nothing. Your daddy was nothing. Your granddaddy was nothing. You know, y'all can get on a roll sometimes. I'm like, you ain't know my dad. You ain't know my granddaddy. But be careful with the words. You know, it's a great proverb. It talks about how life and death is in the tongue. You know, so be careful with the words you use towards your husband. Period. But definitely in front of the kids, in front of your friends. Like I told you about that other couple I knew from some years ago. I mean, I really felt bad for this brother, where she used to always just degrade him in the front of other people. I mean, that's sinful. Number one, that's sinful. So be careful with the words you use. Because remember, once again, brothers and sisters, marriage, once again, is think about the bigger picture. It's reflecting the love relationship between Christ and his bride, Christ and his church. So our marriage is a much bigger purpose than just you and your spouse. As a Christian man, it's a picture to the whole world of what Christ and the church is. It's God witness to the world of his great love. So the Christian marriage should look distinctly different and better than the worldly marriage. But unfortunately, the stats say we look about the same. As the Bible would say, some things ought not be. I said, some things ought not be. As a Christian husband and a Christian wife with the Spirit of God inside of you and the Word of God as a guide, our marriages should be much better than the worldly marriage. Right? That's like in any walk of life. If we're walking with Jesus, if we're walking with God, we just have to be thinking about the Lord. Surely he can help be a better husband. Surely he can help you be a better wife. Surely he can help us be a better parents and better young people, better children. Because we're walking with Jesus. And God, once again, is for marriage. I said, God is for marriage. So sometimes we forget the fact that, hey, this marriage is kind of shaking. Well, God put us together, put you together. He can keep you together. I said, he can keep you together. And you talk to most couples, at least I do from time to time. I talk to couples who, you know, I've been married many, many years, and you think, man, they had it great every year. Now they tell you, there's been some bumps, some ups and downs, some forks in the road, you know. I mean, the devil is against marriage, so don't think everything's going to be smooth in your marriage. But you in the Lord, marriage, yeah, hey, this thing is all right. I'd rather be married to Tanya than be single. Now y'all can tell her that. Another thing is we talk about being a little better, wives being better for us, honoring your husband, submitting to your husband. Respect his need for space. And I'm going to quote somebody directly on this. Respect his need for space. I'm going to kind of elaborate what this lady, Christian author, wrote about. Respect his need for space. She said, when I see my husband, you might can relate to this. She said, when I see my husband struggling to find a solution, my biggest temptation is to jump in and tell him what he needs to do to fix the problem. Any of y'all ever been guilty? You don't have to raise your hand. She said, that's her biggest temptation. Oh, do it this way. No, give him space. She said, but when I give him space, to think and pray, Brother Michael, to think and pray, I convey to him that I have confidence in his ability to grapple with the issue. So sisters, help us out sometime. If it's only been 15 minutes, it might take me 30 minutes to figure it out, but just give me a little bit of time. Just pray with me as I try to figure that thing out. Got a couple of witnesses out there. So give the brother a little space. Another thing, and like I said, these are just kind of some tips really coming from a Christian wife's perspective. She said, partner with him, this lady said, partner with him in his aspirations, his dreams, his goals. Kind of partner with him in his goals. Don't partner with him in his goals, his aspirations, his dream. Don't be just, you know, he might say, hey, I want to own a business one day. Don't be saying, well, you can't own a business. You ain't gonna own no business. No, I don't. That ain't the right approach, sisters. This lady writes, she said, men, they thrive, when they pursue their dreams. And she says, if we aren't careful, talking to the wife, if we aren't careful, we can squash those dreams. When I throw cold water, she writes, when I throw cold water on my husband's grand vision, it may prevent him from tackling a pursuit he needs to try. And if he's making, here's a good little point she mentioned. And if he's making a foolish or risky decision, he'll be more receptive to a cautionary word from me if I've first shown him that I'm on his side. But basically, just saying, I think, if just right from the jump, she's jumping in, oh, you can't, that ain't gonna work. Most men, we're gonna just kind of shut down and say, no, but you know, if she's saying, if she kind of listens and prays and kind of supports him, but as he's going down the line, if it does like it's gonna end up, you know, in a mess, that he'd probably be a little more open to, okay, well, honey, you were with me 2 weeks ago, but yeah, that is a good point that you brought up. But basically, the husband, the guy needs to be, sports world call it, really, most husbands wants their wife to be their greatest cheerleader. You can do it. I know you can. If you can't do it, nobody can. Is that it? Was that it? Hey, maybe get you some pom-poms. Get you some little pom-poms. Brothers, these cheerleaders. We can be down. It's the fourth quarter. We're about to lose a game. And the cheerleaders start cheering and fans cheerleading. We will come back and win the game. So be your husband's biggest cheerleader. Be your husband's biggest cheerleader. Last thing, and I'm through. This is a big one. Just once again, about his wife submitting to your husband, showing him respect and honor. Sometimes, sisters, you have to give us brothers, give him room to fail. Give him room to fail. Give him room to fail. This lady writes, she said, I want my husband to succeed. And this is a true statement, but no matter how dedicated or brilliant his efforts, failures will happen. Sometimes we just don't get it right. So sometimes we just don't get it right sometimes. But she goes on to talk about failures can provide the opportunity for growth. She talked about her husband needs to have the freedom to fail without fear of my response, she writes. And if he does fail, he needs my assurance that the failure does not define him. He needs my assurance that the failure does not define him. And I'm saying this, you know, failure ain't final. Many of the world's greatest inventors messed up many times before they finally, boom, got the right invention. I think the brother that created the light bulb, I think he failed like some, I don't know, a whole astronomical number. My engineers and scientists can help me out on that. But I think he failed a lot of times before he finally got it right. So sometimes, sister, sometimes we fail. So mainly the husband just wants to know, hey, as long as my wife is standing with me, as long as she's there with me, and if I did fail, of course you've talked about it, you've prayed about it, you've discussed it. Once again, I'm not talking about a husband running off doing stuff without even discussing it with his wife or family. If you fail together. So maybe the next time it'll work right. Maybe the next time it'll be better. Because sometimes we do fail. Think about it. So even in those vows that you made some years ago, you said things like for better or for worse, right? Right? You said things like, hey, when he get it right and then when he get it wrong, I'm still right there with him. He made the wrong call on that decision, but I'm still right there with him. Once again, sisters, recap real quickly. Things kind of help you submit to your husband, help you to respect and honor your husband. Start with prayer. Ask God to change your heart and your attitude. Also, listen carefully to the words that you say pertaining to your husband. Respect his need for space. Also, partner with him in his goals and dreams and aspirations. And also, give him room to fail. So sisters, again, I want to make sure that you are submitted to the Lord. Maybe if you're having a problem with this area of submission, submitting to your husband, just maybe you haven't submitted first to the Lord. So again, that's where submission starts. First, submit to God, submit to Jesus, give your life to him. And then say, Lord, teach me how to submit to my husband. Verse 33 again, on my way out, verse 33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, each one of you, husband and wife, let each one of you, in particular, husband, love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There it is. There's a good blueprint right there, right in that one verse. Husbands, love your wife as yourself. Love her as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect your husband. Wives, submit to your husband. So brothers, as we do our part, and husbands, as we do our part, and sisters and wives, as you do your part, we send a great message, a great evangelistic message to the world, all the more showing them about God's love and Christ's love. So it's much bigger, once again, than just our marriage. Although it's a big part, but the bigger picture is what do we portray to the world about our God? What do we portray to the world about our Christ as we look at our own marriage? As I look at my position as a husband, as you look at your position as a wife, what does your marriage portray to the world about Christ? To the world about God. Especially those people we're close to, you know, in our neighborhoods that we hang with and all that. Because they kind of know, you know, they might not know everything that's going on inside the house, but they kind of know. So what does our marriage portray to this world? And once again, all of us got a little work to do. But guess what? We got a mighty God who's working in and through us. I'm like Philippians 1 said, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in me, he who has begun a good work in you, he who has begun a good work in your marriage, he's able to bring it to completion through Christ Jesus our Lord. We got resources. We got the Lord on our side. I said, we got the Lord on our side. See, the world doesn't have that. But we have the Lord on our side. Amen. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise. Get a Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm through. Father, we do thank you. We do thank you for Christian marriage. Thank you for the husband's role and the wife's role. And